look and go, what time are we supposed to be done? I can't remember from week to week, and that's crazy. We may switch back. It's kind of a little bit of seasonal thing, too. It's daylight savings. The idea with daylight savings is obviously, you know, you have a little more daylight. And so we find that services tend to change when it gets a little bit lighter outside, a little more toward summer. People are coming to the earlier services more than the later ones. And so, and then winter, they want the later ones. So we may switch back in the fall. We'll see. But 8:30, 10, and 11. Hi, I'm Randy. Welcome to Adventure Church. Some of you guys are new. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I'm one of the pastors here. People are laughing at me right now because I don't normally have a shaved head. Well, I get the wrong, what did I say? 8:30, 10? And 11:30. Thank you. They're laughing at me for other reasons. any other things you're laughing at me for? All right. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive in, all right? So Jesus, come. We want to see you, and we want a taste of you this morning. We want to understand what you're up to. And so would you come and fill this place with your Spirit for these remaining minutes? And Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit for what you want to say here to your folks? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, the youth group did an Ethiopia mission trip fundraiser talent night thingy, and so in order to raise money, I donated my hair. And so I told them, you know, okay, you can do the head for $750, but I want $1,000 for the beard, and they bicked the whole thing. So, and I kind of like the look. It's sort of the ticked off pastor look, you know. So I'm kind of, I might stay with it, you know. I like it. So on that note, though, next door in the fellowship hall, somebody's donated 200-300 books from Amazon.com, brand new books, secular Christian books over there. And so the youth have created like a mini bookstore, and the books are going for a $5 donation. So there's really nice, expensive books, and there's novels, different things. If you're a book person, all the proceeds go to the Ethiopia mission trip. So on your way out, stop by the bookstore over there, and whatever comes in, they get to use. So also wanted to remind you, we are reading through the Bible together as a church. And so we're reading through it chronologically, and we are in mid-Deuteronomy. If you are newer and you didn't know about that, you can start now. And just you end this time next year. It's no big deal. But you can kick into it now. You can go on our website and register. There's an Alpha team and a Bravo team. Alpha is reading through the Bible chronologically. Bravo team is memorizing a verse a week. And this week's verse is Hebrews 3, 7 through 9. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, in the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. Did I get that right? Okay, so there's a guy in our church that was telling me that he walks to church. He's got about a 40-minute walk every Sunday, and he says, every Sunday, this is my time to memorize. It's only once a week I walk to church, and I memorize for that 40 minutes. He says, I'm now done with the first third of the verses, and I'm on working on the second third. So, cool, huh? Doesn't take that much to really commit God's word to your memory. So if you haven't locked into that and you want to dive in, just go on our website and register, and you can download the PDF with the chronological read-through and all those sorts of things, and the memory verses if you want to memorize them with us. It has been just a blessing for me and our family. So, one other thing. Adventures in a Year, we've sort of dedicated this year, fall to fall, so we're halfway through, a year to community. And so we're emphasizing community groups, and in a couple of weeks we're going to be kicking off a whole new crop of community groups that are starting up. And there's activity groups that are dirt biking, sewing, stuff like that, growth groups that are about, I want to study Ephesians or Financial Peace University, some sort of growth thing, or mission groups. And so if you have a passion to start a group, go online, register your group, and it will be promoted along with the rest of them. There is a mission group that's starting up that I'm excited about called H2O, and it's going to be starting up after Easter, and it basically explains why you don't have to throw away your brain to believe in Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful place. It's a video-driven, dynamic deal to bring somebody to who doesn't have a relationship with Christ and invite them to join you. So that will be kicking off. More details on that on our website. Okay, now we're going to launch in. God has given us some new pictures for our vision for the church. And that the picture has come from Ezekiel 37. If you've been around, you've been hearing this. And the picture is God gives Ezekiel this vision of this valley of dry bones. And then he says, preach to those dry bones. And then he preaches to them and the bones come together and tendons and muscles and flesh appears on them, but they're still dead. And then he says, preach to the breath. And the breath is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so Ezekiel starts preaching to the breath, and wind comes in and breath comes in, and then they stand up on their feet, and it says, a vast army. And this is the vision God has given us, and it's basically this picture of bones, muscles, tendons coming together is a picture of restoration. Adventure's vision has always been about restoration, the healing of the heart, healing of wounds, restoration of your true identity in Christ. I think the thing that's kind of newer for our vision is this breath of God, the Holy Spirit coming in and filling us and then deploying this vast army that's ready to move out. Some words that help us with this are restore, fill, and deploy. Those are just kind of simply putting what God's been speaking to us. Restore our hearts. God, that's still our mission. That's not changed. Filling with the Spirit is a little bit newer, and deploying across the street around the world. And that's what's happening. That's what God is doing at Adventure Church. And so that's our mission. And it plays itself out in Acts chapter 4, where after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God boldly. We have an initiative beginning today on our website, actually, and on another website, avastarmy.com. We're having 7 days since midnight this morning, and unbroken, somebody's praying for the filling of the Spirit and boldness to speak the Word of God from this church, this vast army. Somebody's been praying since midnight. And there's about 70 spots left to fill. The 168 hours of prayer for this next week, it's full except for 70. Do you think some of you might want to go and fill the rest of it? God, yes. Go, yes, Randy. Avastarmy.com, or you can go to our website, Adventure Community Church. Let's have unbroken prayer, okay? Because why? They prayed. And after they prayed, the place was shaken. That's what we're looking for. The Holy Spirit to move. And then we speak the Word of God boldly. What's this army for? Deploy. For what? Filled with the Spirit to speak boldly. Why? Why should we speak boldly? Why tell others about Christ? I want to show you a video that helps us see why. Why should we speak out boldly for Jesus Christ? Yeah, it's interesting when you think about the people who look great around you. They look together. They look like they've got it together. They look like they're just fine. And then you find out the stories, what's really going on. That's why Jesus came. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field." Jonathan talked last week about a very difficult topic, and he talked about the plight of people who do not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God will not force anyone to be in a relationship with him, and so it is eternal separation that's their situation. And if they don't have Christ, then the stories on the backs of those cardboard sheets are their story. Without Christ, that's their story. Des and Michelle shared about a sense of purposelessness last week without Christ and how that's changed, and they've been transformed. And I remember just fear and being so alone before I came to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that just ended. Purpose and a sense of connection and relationship replaced aloneness. God is passionate about his people. And we have been given a vital message. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Who has the ministry of reconciliation? Us. We have that ministry, right? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us what? A message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The yellow parts, all this is from God. This message is God's idea, not ours. God is making an appeal to the world who does not know him. He is crying out, making an appeal. And we're the ones given that vital message to offer. That's the situation. That's our story. And if you're not sure about how to have a relationship with Christ and you're here today, and this is new to you, we're talking about you today. You are our guest of honor. And God is so serious about having a relationship with you and restoring you to what you were meant to be and rescuing you from eternal separation from him that he is mobilizing his followers as an army to appeal to you. And the next 3 weeks, we want to talk about that. Next 3 weeks, by the way, when we talk about the word gospel, have you ever heard that word gospel? It simply means the message about how to have a relationship with Christ. It's the message of reconciliation. The message that brings eternal life is the gospel. In the next 3 weeks, we're getting prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So God is raising an army to speak boldly and to make his appeal through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are his ambassadors. It's interesting, if you look at that book of Acts, and it's like they prayed, and they were filled with the Spirit, and the place that they were at was shaken, and they spoke the word of God boldly. If you track the filling of the Spirit throughout Scripture, do you know that the outplay of that is almost always speaking out boldly? Track it. We're going to talk more about that in weeks to come, but it's amazing. This week, we're talking about what to say. What is the gospel? Next week we're going to talk about how to say it, and then the week to after that we're going to talk about creating opportunities to say it. And so today's what to say. If God gave, here's my question for you. If God gave you a chance this week to share the message of reconciliation, the gospel message, would you be ready? Are you ready? Do you know what to communicate? Do you know what needs to get across? Are you confident that you know what the message is and how to communicate it? So today's, what's the message? What's the message of the gospel? The message goes like this. God is drawing people to himself. John 6:44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." God is drawing people to himself. Titus 2:11 says that the grace of God has appeared to all men. The Holy Spirit has gone out. The Lord has sent out his power to draw, tug at hearts, pull at people, to draw them to himself. And he does that in lots of different ways. It comes out in different ways. It's different in every person's life. It often happens at a crossroads in their life or a time of challenge that they experience. One gal came to me, and she said, "I need to talk to a pastor." And I said, what's going on? And she said, "I've been having these dreams. I've been having dreams that I'm going to die and meet God, and I'm terrified of that." I'm like, "Well, would you like to know how to have a relationship with God, that if you did meet him, that would be a great meeting?" And she was like, "Okay." Another guy lost his job, and he was at a crossroads. He was, "What do I do? I feel like I'm in a crisis." And we talked about how to have a relationship with God, and he prayed to receive Christ and entered into a relationship with God. For me, I was a teenager walking to school every day, and on my way to school, I had passed by this church. And I passed by it for years. But somehow, for some reason, this fall, I'm walking, or it was a spring, sorry, that one spring, I was walking along, and I started going, "What is this about?" I started feeling this tug. I started looking at the church. It had nothing to do with the church, but God was using this. Every day I'd walk by for about a month, something was growing in me that wanted, I felt a desire for something connected with God. And so God draws people to himself. He draws them. And then after he starts drawing them and they start feeling that tug, they might not even realize it's happening. Then God sets up a divine appointment. God sets up a moment where a person, they will encounter a person, or they'll encounter a evangelist on television. It could be a little booklet that somebody's prepared that they pick up off the ground. But God will set up a divine appointment, a meeting with someone who knows how to enter into a relationship with God, and they tell you a few critical things that you need to know to have a personal relationship with God. And what they're going to tell you is this: God loves you, and he sent his son to make a way to get you right with him. For God so loved the world. Do you guys know it? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. They'll share with you that verse, because it's all in there. God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die, so that if you would believe in him and trust him, you will have eternal life. And then we ask the question, why did he have to give his life? Why did Jesus have to die on a cross? See, he gave his life by dying on a cross. Why? Because mankind long ago rebelled against God and walked away from God's leadership. Way back in the beginning of the story, mankind walked away. Man has a problem. See, man's rebelled against God's leadership. It says it in the Bible in Isaiah 53. It says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him," talking about Jesus, "the rebellion, the iniquity of us all." Laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He's taken. Jesus had to die on that cross because we have this thing called iniquity. We have rebellion in our hearts. It's a resistance that we got as a virus back from the original rebellion of mankind, back in the garden, this virus that lives in us that says, I don't want to trust anybody else to lead my life but me. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. You see it in little children. If you draw a line in the floor and say, don't cross that line, what's everything in them want to do? Right? I got to cross the line. They'll just leave me just a toe, but it's in me. I don't want somebody else telling me how to live or what to do. And that virus, it exists in mankind, and it's caused us to run our own lives. And what we've got is the world with us in charge now, a world filled with wars and death and murder and rape and addiction and all the stuff is because of our rebellion against God's leadership. So Jesus came to make a way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God took all the sin of mankind and put it on Jesus on that cross. And when he died, our sin died with it. Our penalty died. He took our hit. He died in our place. It's as though a young man got the death penalty and his father's the judge and his father says, guilty. And then he gets up off the bench and he goes down and he takes the cuffs off his son and puts them on himself and somehow he serves the boy's sentence. That's the story of Christianity. That's the story of the gospel. God has served our sentence by dying on the cross for us in our place so that we could be free. So what God did was two things. He offers complete forgiveness from the cross, and then he offers a restoration of the leadership of his leadership in our lives through Jesus coming in to our lives and becoming the leader. And you see this. We need to receive this, his offer. You must receive Jesus as leader and forgiver to have a right relationship with God. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your life, and I knock." This is this drawing, this tugging. He's been knocking on your life throughout your life. And the door only has a doorknob on your side. And God's a gentleman. He doesn't burst in. You have to invite him in. So he says, "Here I stand at the door of your life and I knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in." And it says, "And you'll eat with him and he with me." The eating together is a picture of fellowship in the Bible. We'll now be friends. We'll have fellowship. And so my question for you today is this. Have you sensed that knocking? Have you sensed that tugging, that pull, that drawing of God in your life? Have you experienced that? Maybe in the night before you go to sleep, maybe in the morning before the internal editor takes over. Have you sensed that drawing of God in your life? Have you said, has Jesus been knocking on your door? He has? Then my question for you is, would you like to open the door and invite him in to be your forgiver and your leader? You would? Awesome. Well, let's pray. And what you're going to pray is something like this. This is not a magical prayer. It doesn't really matter the words as much as the attitude of your heart and what you're really saying to God. This prayer tells us, "Dear Jesus, I've been sensing that you've been knocking. I now open the door of my life to you, and I receive your sacrifice on that cross to pay my penalty for rebellion. I receive that it was enough to erase my penalty and give me a clean slate with you, and I now open the door of my life and invite you in to take over the leadership of my life. Come in, Jesus. I choose now to make you my forgiver and my leader." The important thing is what you're saying, not the exact words. So I want you just to join me. Would you all bow your heads, please? And if you say right now, "I want Jesus to be my leader and my forgiver," I want you to pray this right now out loud with me. "Dear Jesus, I have been sensing that you've been knocking. I now open that door. I receive your sacrifice on the cross to pay my penalty for rebellion. I receive that it was enough to erase my sins. It was enough to give me a clean slate with you. And I now open the door of my life to you. and I invite you in to take over the leadership of my life. Come in, Jesus. I choose now to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's the gospel. And Paul said this, I am not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We need to fall in love with this message. We need to know it backwards and forwards. We need to memorize every verse that I shared. We need to have it locked because it, why? Because it's the power of salvation for everyone who believes, and you serve a God who is making an appeal to the world. He's crying out to the world to know him, and you're his ambassadors, and I'm his ambassador. So we better know the message that he's appealing. So, I want to talk back through what we just did. I just shared with you the gospel. And I shared it with you. By the way, definition of success and outreach. I want us to work on this together, actually. Definition of success and outreach is share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results up to God. Can you repeat that with me? The definition of success and outreach is this. Two, ready? Share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results up to God. That's all you got to do. You just have to make the appeal. Now, why do I start with God is drawing people to himself? Why do I start with John 6 when I share Christ with people? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him and will raise him up on the last day. Because we're not trying to sell anything. Right? We're not trying to convince of anything. It's God who first moves, and it's our role to catch that and be that divine appointment when he's already moving. So we start there, and this takes all of that, if your tone is, yeah, the way things work is that God draws people to himself. He does this tugging thing. He pulls at them. God knows everybody's story, and he comes to them in a critical crossroads in their journey, and he draws them toward himself. Jesus said so in John 6:44, no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. Have you ever experienced that kind of tugging? Why start there? Because we want to put the initiation on the right foot. It's actually God who's been doing the initiating, and it takes away that whole weird, I'm selling you something, convincing you of something, because that's not what's happening anyway. That won't work. Only if God's drawing will it work anyway, right? So your primary job isn't to sort of win a soul or get a convert, but to make an appeal to people and let him do the rest, right? You're telling them somebody's pursuing you. Somebody's chasing after you. And they need to deal. It also causes them to have to deal with God and not you. And it also makes it so you're okay with their answer. I don't feel like God's been drawing me at all. I don't notice that. Oh, okay. And also, you simply get to invite them to respond to what God's already up to. And if they're not interested, God will use it that night. You sit with somebody on a plane and you share with them, yeah, the way it works is God draws people, and he does this tugging thing, and they're like, I'm not interested in that. You know what's going to happen in the hotel room that night when they get to their destination? He's going to go after them. The Gideon's Bible is going to jump out of the nightstand. I don't know, but it's going to happen. God's going to do it, and it's so all you're doing is making his appeal. You don't have to make something happen, which is, thank you, God. It's not on us. Okay, why John 3:16? Why should we use that verse? Because it has it all. It's the do-all verse, right? For God so loved the world, starts with his love for you, that he sent his only son. God's initiating, right? And whoever believes in him, it gives the step. You need to believe, right? Will not perish but have eternal life. The deal is life. And everybody knows it. And there's a value in familiarity. Well, not everybody knows it anymore. It used to be that everybody knew that verse. Not so anymore. But still, more people know that verse than any other verse in the Bible. So it's common, and so it brings up the obvious question. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? And you have to fill in the blank to die on the cross. But then it gives you the opportunity to ask why. Why did he have to die on the cross? You want to ask that question for them when you're helping somebody come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have to get to you've got to get to the problem with man. And the problem with man is this leadership issue we have. We don't trust anybody else to lead our lives. We won't surrender leadership. That is the problem, and you have to define the problem before you can share the solution. You have to define the problem accurately before you can share the solution. And so, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. You're talking about that. What's the problem? This is why you need Isaiah 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. This defines the problem. This is also a do-it-all verse. Look, it's all in there, right? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The world we have and the life you've had is because of your leadership. Man, God has given us what we demanded, a world with us in charge, and it's caused a great mess. And the solution is, I want to come forgive you and lead you. So you need to explain, that's the offer of the gospel, forgiveness and leadership, restoration of leadership. So those are the two key things you want to get over to somebody. And where am I? That's the whole kid, you know, me saying, yeah, draw a line on the ground. You know, because people might argue, well, I don't think I'm rebellious. I don't think I have a problem with this. I don't think I have a problem with leadership. You know, and that's the whole, yeah, but if you draw a line in the ground and say don't cross that line, what happens in you? Right? And pretty much everybody can identify with, I want to step across the line. They need to understand the solution, that Jesus came to as your forgiver and your leader, and everything he did was to demonstrate that. Healing of the sick, he hung out with the outcasts, he washed feet, taught how to love, died in our place, took everyone's punishment on himself, and then he knocks. You start with the knocking. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and you end with the knocking. Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. This is the, he's a gentleman, he's paid your debt, and now he's asking, can I reconcile with you? Jesus is saying, can I reconcile with you? And then you offer a choice. Would you like to open that door to Jesus right now? You say those words. Would you like to open the door to Jesus? He's knocking. Would you like to open that door? Why do you make that offer? Because Jesus does. Right? He does. And he's making his appeal through you, so you're saying, he's knocking. My friend's knocking on your door. Do you want to open it to him? You know, he's not going to force his way in. Doorknob's only on one side. It's on your side. Would you like to do that? And then I will say to people, and then you usually hear the objections with people. And you can anticipate some objections and other objections. You have to be listening to the Spirit and trusting the Spirit. The one objection everyone has that you can anticipate is the letting go of control. We are terrified to let go of control, right? And so I will often say to people, they'll get antsy. I'll say, would you like to open that door to Jesus? And they'll go, well, kind of, you know, maybe I'll think about it, you know. And I'll go, like, what are you facing? What do you think's going on for you with that? What is there any objections you have? I usually never hear, well, I intellectually doubt whether it's really true that there really is a God, all that. That's not the objection. The objection is, if I let him in, will he want to tell me what to do? And then I say, yes, 100% absolutely. And then I talk about photosynthesis. So he look at that tree out there. He designed that tree to be a solar panel, and it's powered through the sun. Your hand has 27 bones, and it connects, you know, nerve endings, all this stuff, so it can do this. And God thought all that up, and he designed it. He's really smart, isn't he? They say yes. And I say, is he smarter than you? They say yes. Then I say, do you think he could run your life better than you could? And they say yes. And then I can say, well, why don't you let him? Because that's how the guy convinced me to let go of control when I was in high school. It said those exact same, the tree and the fingers. And I went, he is smarter than me. I'll let him. So use it. I mean, it's the issue, right? Jesus' solution is leadership, and the issue is I don't want to trust his leadership. So we offer, you can trust his leadership. And then I offer again, would you like to pray and invite him to come into your life? And then you always, 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 always offer to pray with them and walk through the prayer with them. Because if you say, here's a prayer for you to go pray by yourself somewhere, the enemy will come, steal it. It'll be, you know, three phone calls will happen, and they'll be now on a sprint for the next 3 or 4 days with whatever Satan sends to keep them from making that decision. So you pray, you offer to pray with them. You offer to take them all the way in, and then you pray with them that prayer. And so those are the steps. That's the message, and you need to know it. I purposely didn't give you little booklets or anything like a tool today. We're going to give you some of that stuff next week, but I just want you to hear it. Ask yourself, how well do I know it? Do I have these verses memorized? There are others, but this is like the next step for you. If you're a follower of Christ and his ambassador, you got to know the message. And so my challenge to you is to memorize, write these down, memorize them. You can get this online or the message online and download it and hear it again. As far as next week, we're going to be talking about how to share it more. We're going to talk about some different methods. But the best method, the most powerful method, the most important method is to pray. Pray for divine appointments. And so what we're doing as a church is beginning, again, like I share with you, midnight last night. Register online at avastarmy.com. We're praying as a congregation, as a church, as a body. God, fill us with your spirit, fill us with boldness, and give us opportunities to share this message with the world around us. Again, there's about, well, as of 8 a.m., there was about 70 spots of those 168 spots available. Would you like us to pray around the clock this? Do you think if we pray this, will God give us those opportunities? Do you think he will? So take an hour. Respond today by going home, get online, or on your phone while you're driving out of here. Register for an hour, okay? Let me pray for you, and we're going to let you go. Jesus, thanks so much for your gospel message. Oh, Lord, you made us your ambassadors, and nobody likes being asked to be put in an uncomfortable situation. But, Lord, you do not apologize for that. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And, Lord, you stand toe-to-toe with us and ask us to be your ambassadors. And, Lord, we say yes. We will not shrink back and dishonor your message or you. And so, Lord, fill your people with the Spirit, with your Spirit, and with boldness to share your message with those who don't know you, Lord, because you love them and you've given everything for them. Lord, fill us with love for them like you have. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Bookstores open. Avastarmy.com registration.